This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's Morning Show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's wrap up the week and head into the long weekend by catching up with Karen McKay from the Center for Equitable Library Access to find out what's going on in the world of accessible reading material. And let's welcome Karen into the show. Hey, Karen, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to chat with you once again. So let's start off with some award announcements. Karen, you've always got the inside scoop on these awards. Finalists for this year's World Fantasy Awards were announced. So I think I need to start here. What are the World Fantasy Awards?
Excellent question. So they're part of the World Fantasy Convention, and the awards were established in 1975, so they're about 45 years old. I have to do my math quickly. And they're annual awards that celebrate outstanding fantasy writers in 8 different categories.
And did any Canadians make the list?
Yeah, we have 2 big names. Sylvia Moreno-Garcia, who's the author of the Mexican Gothic book, which is a New York Times bestseller, and C.L. Polk, who is the author of Midnight Bargain, which was a Canada Read selection. They're both finalists in the best novel category.
Oh, exciting times. So they've been shortlisted. When are the winners going to be announced?
So they get announced at the convention, which takes place in early November. I think it's the 4th to the 7th.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of time to be anticipating, waiting to find out if you're the big winner. Are any of these titles available in the Sela collection?
Yeah, both of those books are in the Sela collection. So, and they're excellent reads and, you know, big books with buzz. So go get them because they're great, great story.
Right on. Okay, let's jump into a different prestigious prize long list. The Booker Prize announced their long list for consideration. It's too long to mention them all, but were there any Canadian authors who made this long list?
There were. So there's 2 on this year's list. So Rachel Cusk, who's the author of a novel called Second Place, and Mary Lawson, who's the author of a novel called A Town Called Solace.
Outstanding. So it's a similar question to the last category. When are we going to find out about the winners in regards to the Booker?
About the same time. A lot of awards announced in November, and this one goes November the 3rd. So lots of time to read the books.
So if there's authors in your life, that's good for the Hanukkah or Christmas shopping in terms of getting those gifts available.
And
I feel like we wouldn't be talking about these if they weren't available at Sela, but I have to do my journalistic due diligence and ask you, are these ones available?
Yes, they absolutely are, and they are popular books. So, yeah, go get them.
Okay, more long list time, Karen. You're bringing us all the long lists today. We have an announcement from the First Nations Community Reader earlier this month. So, first of all, give us a bit more information about the First Nations Community Reader. Or Reads,
okay,
pardon
me. That's okay. So this is like generally like other community reads programs. So the idea is to get everybody in a community to read the same book and so that we can have interesting conversations about it. So the awards actually celebrate the best in Indigenous literature in Canada, and there's 53 authors on the long list. So they have 2 categories, one for young adult and adult, and the other category is for children's titles. And there's some phenomenal books on there.
So just highlight a couple of them for us that you think deserve mention here.
So there's 2 adult books that I wanted to bring to your attention. So David Robertson's book, he wrote Blackwater, which is a memoir about his family and his life. And Michelle Good, who wrote 5 Little Indians, which just won the Giller and the Writers Trust. And it's, you know, highly regarded book. So those 2 are really interesting ones, but all of the books on the list are deserving.
Karen, more and more we're talking about not just the importance of recognizing these authors and these writings, but getting the books into people's hands. How does First Nations Community Reads connect with libraries?
So it's actually, it's an interesting program. So they want to make sure that people across Canada and across Ontario specifically can read these books. So public libraries will often hold readings and special events as part of the program, and they make sure that the winning titles are available in all libraries in Ontario so that people can make sure that they can get access to them. And we will, of course, have the winning titles as well.
And if I was a robot, it would be really easy to have them conduct this interview because he would ask you, just like a couple of categories before, when do we find out the winners of these ones?
So this is a tougher question than the other two. I actually don't have the announcement date. They always announce prior to First Nations Public Library Week, which takes place in the first week in October, but the date's just a little bit depending on how they're doing with their awards. So I will bring you the shortlisted and the selected titles when it's time, probably sometime in September.
Right on. Looking forward to that one. And Karen, just before we leave this category, I do want to mention to you that a long time ago on the show, you mentioned a friend of mine, Wabgisha Rice, who wrote the book Moon of the Crusted Snow. And I said, we're going to get him on the show. We're going to get him on the show. And finally this week, Wab and I managed to connect and to get him on the show on Wednesday. And it was a thrill to chat with him. And he was definitely thrilled to hear that his book was available at CELA, getting in accessible formats to people's hands. So again, thank you for putting that one on our radar long, long, long ago. And it was super great to catch up with Wab this week. And we encourage folks to find the podcast of that interview from Wednesday's episode. All right, Karen, let's jump into the world of your featured selections. And you've always got a theme for us, and this one seems spot on considering we're right in the midst of the Olympics. So that is your theme this week. You wanted to find some books that related to the Olympic movement, and the first one you wanted to begin with was My Mother's Daughter by Perdita Felicienne.
Yeah, so this is a really beautiful book. It's written by the world champion hurdler. She was in the 2008 and 2004 Olympics. And the story really focuses on her relationship with her mother. So her mother was a poor young woman in St. Lucia, and she was given a chance to come to Canada with a wealthy white family and become their nanny. But when she gets here, things don't go as planned, and she ends up experiencing a lot of domestic violence and poverty and homelessness, all the while she's raising her young daughters, and then she gets pregnant with Felicienne. And so it's really one of those sort of rags to riches, overcoming obstacles, overcoming hurdles, really, literally and figuratively. And it really focuses on the beautiful relationship between the mother and the daughter, and how important that relationship is for Perdita to be able to go and follow her Olympic dreams. So really, it's incredibly powerful book.
Yeah, when we see these autobiographies and seeing where people come from and the struggles they face, it's always interesting to hear them sort of walk you through it and through those perspectives. You also wanted to make mention of The Bone Cage by Angie Abdou.
Yeah, so this one I thought was really interesting. It's a novel, and it focuses on two characters, Digger, who's a wrestler, and Sadie, who's a swimmer. And they are on the verge of realizing their Olympic dreams. So they're well positioned for gold at the Olympics. And as their relationship develops, we get to sort of see how intense the lives of athletes are as they work towards a major competition. And just by virtue of the fact that they have to focus so intensely, the rest of their world gets quite smaller. So we see how intense their training schedules are, how divided loyalties come into play. We see the obstacles that sort of knock them off their game and how they recover from that. But it also touches on something that I don't know that we as non-Olympic athletes, I don't know if you're an Olympic athlete.
No chance.
We don't talk about it or think about it much, but it's sort of the what happens when, right? So what happens after the Olympic dreams? What do you do when you're facing what you think is the biggest moment of your life that, you know, you'll ever experience, and it either doesn't go as planned or it does? Like, you know, how do you prepare for that mentally, that everything that you've dedicated your life to will be finished in, you know, 30 seconds or in a half hour or whatever the sport requires. So this book reads like it's fiction, but it reads like truth. The author has a really amazing ability to drop us right into the action. It's very insightful. It was actually a Canada Reads contender about 10 years ago. And so it's an older book, but it really is a fantastic insight into the minds of athletes as they prepare for their biggest moments.
Karen, the only Olympic event that I'm really qualified to compete in is if they had speed-eating Chipotle burritos. That's about as good as we'd get. This next author is one that people are going to be very familiar with. She's become quite a leader in the mental health movement in Canada. But the book's called Open Heart, Open Mind by Clara Hughes.
Yeah, so she's just, I think, one of my favorite people on the planet. I don't know her personally, but I don't know if you saw, but she put out a tweet yesterday encouraging Penny Oleksiak to break some records. Mm-hmm. So Clara, as we know, yeah, she's the first athlete ever to win multiple medals in both the Summer and Winter Games. But the backstory is she spent her teenage years using drugs and drinking to escape a very uncomfortable situation at home with her alcoholic father. And she was kind of headed nowhere fast. And then she saw Gaétan Boucher race in the 1988 Calgary Olympics, and that changed her path. And she channeled all of that anger and frustration and ambition into endurance sports. And of course, she became an Olympic medalist. When she was working on her cycling, a coach kind of pushed her past her limits, and he had a very unorthodox approach, and he led her to a place of extreme self-doubt and loathing, and she really had to face her mental health. And so the book is all about that process, and it's beautiful. What I think would strike you about this book, if you haven't read it, is the way that she frames her life without pity and with so much gratitude, and she's fully open and honest. I think the title's really well chosen. And as we, you know, as you said, she's gone on to do amazing things after the Olympics to help all of us talk about important issues. Mm-hmm. So highly recommend this book.
I haven't read it, but I'm officially going to put this one on my radar to download and have a look at this weekend, because that sounds like a really remarkable read. Karen, we've only got 2 minutes here, but Swimming Studies by Leanne Shapton.
So Leanne Shapton, when she was a teenager, was actually training for the Olympic trials, and she then decided, because of some family circumstances, not to pursue it. And so she quit. And so this book is like a series of autobiographical essays about her love of swimming, about what it means to be a competitive swimmer and to pursue that dream and then to let it go. And she describes the pain of giving up training, the pain physically of what it means to be an Olympic level athlete. But it sort of talks about those questions about what if I had made this other decision, and what for? What is this all for? What does this accomplish? And she talks about how swimming has pervaded her life, not only in the work that she's done since she was a teenager, but also she's an artist, and how water and swimming sort of influenced that part of her life as well. It's a really beautiful book.
Karen, it blows me away how much information and perspective you can cram into a 10-minute segment. Thank you so much for making time for us, as always. Have yourself a wonderful long weekend, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.